Hey, this is your host, D. Wells. Why not you? And welcome to part two with Mr. Val Topolu. And have those pens and notepads out, y'all, because Val is going to continue to bring it. Fun, laughter, and transparency. That's what it's all about. And growing, for sure. All right, let's go. Let's go.
You wouldn't grow like this in Cali at the rate that you're growing right now.
Yeah. Now, what she said to you as far as like growth and everything, do you feel like at the rate that you're actually growing, that you're probably like outpacing some of your friends back home?
For sure. 100%. And like you said, there's less distractions and I could stay focused on what God has for me in this specific season. And I'm like, man, I'm growing. I was like, but why do I want to go to comfort? And there's this, it's so seductive. There's this seductive call to comfort where we're like the Israelites, where we're like, let's go back there. And Moses is like, you tripping, dude. Like, you're growing, bro. Like, I fed you manna.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and when I start to grumble, I make a gratitude list. I express thanks. I don't just write it down. I express. Because if I was to ask you, bro, are you grateful? You'd be like, yeah. But do you give thanks? Do you give thanks? That's different.
Yeah.
And I've learned to give thanks every single day. Every single day. And, man, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. And of course, there's going to be challenges moving forward, you know? Right. Like, we're trying to have more kids. And I know we ain't got family here, but we know we need to be here. Right. And even my wife and I, we were talking the other day. We're like, we need to believe that God's going to bless our son with friends. Now, in California, that wouldn't even be a thought. Like, we got like 30 friends for this dude, like free babysitting all day. You know, like we try to go to San Diego or whatever for 5 nights. You know, like we ain't tripping off that, you know, but like, but here we're like, we have to lean into what God has for us and trust that, man, he's going to provide.
You sure do. Wow. So when it gets to the point where you kind of feeling like, man, I'm not feeling too cool today, or man, I just need somebody to talk to or whatever. Who's like, are some of the go-tos are like your accountability? How big is accountability to you?
Two people, bro. Two. And I'll actually share. There's this one man. His name is Ray. Awesome guy. I met on the airplane. I shared my testimony with him. Turns out he was a pastor. We became like best friends. And whenever I'm going through anything tough, like I'll hit him up. We'll talk over the phone. And with him, man, I feel like I have a place to process. I have a place to struggle. And I'll tell you this. It feels so good to not wear a mask.
Right.
Like just to be myself. Because I put a lot of pressure on myself early on. I entered the ministry when I was 15. I'm 32 now. And I've just, from worship leader to youth pastor to associate and then chaplain and then now here. So I've kind of done ministry pretty much my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to project this polished image, you know?
Yeah.
And man, I've learned to give myself permission to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And to say I was wrong. And my mentor taught me it takes a secure person to say that.
It does, doesn't it?
You see what I'm saying?
Man, it seemed like that was probably like the theme, man, for Monday. Because, you know, we had, of course, Maxwell, he's written a book on failing. It's called Failing Forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And then you had Ryan Leak, who was one of the speakers. The title of his speech was Chasing Falling. Man, I jacked this speech up. But it had to do with failure, brother. But it's a trip because I think that's one of the things that limits people from taking risks. They're afraid of that failure part. Where you have some people, man, they're like, hey, dude, the faster I fail, the more success I'm about to achieve, or I'm going to achieve it faster because now I'm learning from my mistakes and learning what not to do. Now I know what to do. Or they just see it differently. So I think it's that perspective piece also.
For sure. For sure. And in my failures, Darren, here's what I've learned. I've learned to run straight to the Lord. Like, I think one of the signs that we understand the gospel is by how we respond to failure. Like, do I withdraw from God or do I draw towards him? Mm-hmm. Because if I believe that God is full of grace and mercy, I'm not going to withdraw. Because our tendency as human beings, like if I offend you and I see you at the mall, I'm going to take that right and go into Champs and I don't want to see you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what we tend to do even with our relationship with the Lord. Like when we fail and we're like, no, I want to talk to him. I'm going to withdraw because I feel like God's mad at me. When God's like, no, run straight to me. Like there's grace, there's mercy that's available to you every single morning. So even in those failures, like, yes, we learn lessons and we also learn about the grace of God.
I know, right?
When we fail, he just keeps taking us back over and over again. And I tell people, I'm not a strong Christian because I'm better than you. Man, when I fall, I just keep running to the Lord. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie, though. I do have a nice jump shot. So we got a hoop one day, bro.
I'm about to do when that day happens. I'm gonna have my knee braces on, I'm gonna have my shoulder pads on, bro. It's gonna be taped.
No, that was a good point that you made though about failing. You know what I'm saying? Like some people are scared to take a risk. It was risky moving here.
Yeah.
It was very risky. I mean, we bought a home here, a lot of risk that came with that, you know, and we had to trust that God was gonna work this thing out for our good. And a lot of life really does boil down to that question. Hey, do we trust that God's way is better?
Yeah.
Because, man, real talk, like there's two competing visions for our lives. One that says, I'm smarter than God, or the other one that says, hey, God, you know what you're doing. I'm going to trust you. I refuse to run my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust you. And it's hard to live out of that posture.
Mm-hmm. It is, huh? Mm-hmm. And so... So I know you're hooping. I know you're playing the guitar.
Right.
What do you think your gift is that God wants you to share with the world?
Man, for me, music's one of them for sure. It's always been the gospel for me. I have a heart for ministers that are battling privately and that don't have a safe place to struggle. Mm-hmm. And I get opportunities to speak into people's lives, which is what I mean, that's what I signed up for. I mean, I signed up to have a vibrant relationship with the Lord and to serve his people. Mm-hmm. So my gift is, man, it's sharing the gospel and pointing people to the Lord, because I think the lens by which we view all of life should be through the gospel. If we don't understand God, if we don't get the gospel, we get Christianity wrong.
Yeah.
We have to understand. And the gospel is what transformed my life. Like for me, man, even battling pornography, just understanding about how much God loved me. Mm-hmm. And that when I would run straight to him, that, man, he wasn't mad at me. He was always inviting me into his presence. Yeah. Yes, I didn't have perfect, and to this day, I mean, I'm not perfect, but the direction that I'm going is a good direction. So God's not about perfection. He's about direction. Like, which direction am I going in? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People always want to know, well, how do I know if God's really moving in my life? It ain't about you being perfect, but it's about the direction that your life is going in. And yes, you're going to fail. Yes, you're going to fall. Even as a minister, like, I still get discouraged. I battle discouragement. I always feel like I don't know enough as a pastor, and I battle that. And I'm like, what if I don't sound smart enough? Or, man, what if I sound too hood? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
because it does just come out of me. Like I share the gospel with dudes that I hoop with here, and I'm learning. Like I'm the most anointed when I'm me.
You're exactly right.
That's it, and that's very freeing for me that I can just be myself, and God can still use me. You know.
Right. I think, man, that's absolutely true, because the last thing the world needs is a pretender.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's only, like, just from being at this conference, man, it's like, you have all these people who are phenomenal. They're getting up, doing their thing, speaking. But look, there's only one John Maxwell.
Right.
There's only one Mark Cole. There's only one Martin Luther King. That's you know, authenticity. That's where it's at, man. You got to be you. And then when you're you, that's when you can operate in that freedom that you're talking about as far as being authentic. Yeah. Otherwise, you are going to continue living in that mask. You got to take the mask.
Right, right. And it's actually my weaknesses that make me more relatable to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not my strengths, bro. It's not my strengths. If I'm like, oh, I did this, and this, you're going to be like, okay, bro. Like, relate to me. So my weaknesses and my mistakes actually make me very relatable.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that one thing that was said over the weekend was, it stores up before it shows up. As far as like growth and any kind of endeavor that you might be working on, because sometimes people just can't see. I think they just get frustrated because we live in this instant world nowadays, right? Where they're just thinking that they need it right now. And so they feel like the work that they're putting in isn't doing any good. Dude, I can't feel it. I don't know. But then all of a sudden, they just don't notice the changes that's actually taking place in their life.
Right, right.
It is huge that you just keep on progressing and moving on.
That's good work. No, the process is everything.
Yeah.
Like, the goal is not to blow up, because if I enjoy the process, like my goal is not just to have goals, but it's to have growth, consistent growth. That's my goal.
Yeah.
It's to have consistent growth. And I'm not competing against you. I'm just trying to stay in my lane, and I'm trying to finish the race that God has for me. Like, you have your own race. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I got my own race that I'm trying to run. And along the way, there's things that are going to prevent us from fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And like, man, we got to stay in our lane. And I've learned that when I stay in my lane, and there's a lot of joy to that, because I'm not comparing myself to you. No, I'm growing. I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord. I'm blooming where God has me. And seeing growth in my life, man, that's what gives me momentum.
Right.
it's the growth, bro. Like, I need to grow. And that's why I love that you're a Maxwell guy. I've always been a Maxwell dude.
But check this out. You are playing the guitar, but you're also, you know, you're pastoring and you got the podcast.
Right.
And so through the podcast, and you just talk about that community, man, that right there, you're creating, creating a way for other people just to connect with you in a whole nother level, because now they're hearing your story and they were like, man, Val's out there and he's struggling with this, and God is moving in his life this way, and he's elevating in this way. Oh, man. I need to jump on board with this brother, because he's the real deal.
Yeah. No, and people reach out and they share about how they've always felt like they were the only ones going through this, or they're the only ones that have these thoughts. And you'd be amazed, even at the work that I do, during, like, we get a lot of crisis calls, people who are suicidal, and the depths of people's loneliness. I can't even begin to explain to you. You ask them if they have a support system. No. People are lonely. Like, I'll never forget being a hospital chaplain, and I was talking to a man. He was probably in his 60s, actively dying. And this dude was a professor, like, in a big school. I don't want to name what school it was, but he was big time. And he had, like, over 30 rental properties, rich dude. As I started talking to him, he started to share about his life. And I'm like, sir, do you have any family coming? And he's like, no. I was like, do you have any friends? And he's like, no. And man, I walked out of that room, I'll never forget. And I'm like, rich financially, relationally, failed.
Yeah.
You know, and bro, like when you're dying, you don't want to hold diplomas. You don't want to hold your, you want to hold a hand, bro.
Right.
And he didn't have that. And I was just, my heart was just, man, I was crushed. I'm like, this man doesn't have a support system. He doesn't have anybody seeing him. And he's actively dying.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the number one mistakes people make is they wait till life gets hard and then they look for community. Now, you got to build a community first so that when life gets hard, you're like, you got people to lean on. But people usually do the opposite, you know? And
yep.
And I will say this, it takes courage to step out, to say, hey, do you want to be friends? Can we get each other's number? Like, that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
But even counselors will tell you, from birth to old age, a lot of our growth depends on the amount of social interaction that we have, for sure, for sure. Like, well, we're not wired to live a life in isolation.
No, we're not.
No.
Mm-mm. Wait. That's crazy that, man, that, I was sitting at the table today with this guy. He said he's about to go, I think he said he's going to go to Cancun, but it's some kind of trip where you're actually in isolation and in darkness for 4 days. And it's more of some kind of like spiritual type of, it's a different kind of spiritual thing, because I never heard of it before, and I just don't understand fully. But at the same time, he's going to be in that position, man, where he's just going to be forced to reflect and just kind of think about life and depend on a higher power.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what he said. I'm not sure if he was a person of faith, even though majority of the people that were at the conference are people of faith, but just the verbiage and stuff that he was using, it's just uncertain. But at the same time, I just know that, man, he's gonna be in some deep thought by himself for 4 days alone.
Yeah.
Man, to have nobody around where you can't even talk to except for yourself.
Wow. Yeah.
He's probably gonna be like Jesus was when he was going through that temptation phase.
Right.
But what kind of books have you actually read just to kind of help you with your spiritual life and just staying committed to your purpose?
So the latest one was Finishing Strong by Steve Farrar.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about a couple of reasons why ministers specifically don't finish strong. And that's usually sexual sin, money scandals. And then the thought of this can't happen to me.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And his thing was like, the best gift that you can give your family is the gift of finishing well.
Mm.
That's what he said. Not finishing so-so.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he shares the story where the Titanic sank, I think it was like 2 hours and 40 minutes. And the captain got 6 warnings, iceberg ahead, iceberg ahead. And he ignored those warnings. And he was saying, he's like, in life, you're going to have warnings from your pastor, your accountability group. It could be your wife. And he's like, if you ignore those warnings, your life will be a shipwreck.
Oh.
So he's like, just like the Titanic. And it's considered one of the greatest shipwrecks.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because they ignored the warnings. And how does God warn us? Through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through dudes like you. You call me out on my stuff. Right? Like, accountability group, church. And the more we say, nah, I'm just going to do my thing, our lives will eventually be a shipwreck. Man, so I've been just really challenged because I started, man, I remember in Bible college, I had a lot of dudes that I started with, and a lot of them either fell into sexual sin, greed, financial greed, and they're out of ministry. And I want to finish well, man. And it's, I mean, the enemy's going to tempt us, you know?
All right.
So that book has been speaking like heavily to me, like finish strong for your family, bro.
That's it. Golly. He said the warning signs. And people already know Because, I mean, you can see a red flag and you just ignore it. You'd be like, man, please.
Right, right.
I'm gonna suffer for a minute, but that ain't gonna be nothing. Next thing you know, 3 or 4 years later, bro, you still suffering.
That's right. That's right, bro. Yeah, so that book, Dan, man, it's been, Derek, it's been a game changer for me because we have a real enemy that wants to destroy us.
Right.
And he wants to take us out of the game. And I tell you, he accuses us. He's called the accuser of the brethren for a reason. And sometimes I'll get accusations like, you know, you can't pray. You know, you can't understand your word. And the thing is, I give the enemy power when I agree with his accusations.
Ooh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, we all have accusations that come from the enemy, and we can't agree with his accusations because that's how we empower him. So we got to fight back with the truth of God's word. So that book, man, has been monumental for me.
Ooh, that's huge. What you just said, that means you agreeing with Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah, when you agree with his accusations, that's how you give the enemy power.
Yep. It's like, I ain't going to say nothing to this dude. Getting on my nerves. Right. You know, you don't say nothing to him. And God is like, what did I tell you? You know better than that. So man, how would you define success at this phase in your life?
Yeah, so being faithful in the sphere of influence that God has given me right now. And right now it's Caleb. It's being also faithful in my home. Yeah. And seeing where the podcast is going to take me too. You know, that's something God's been putting on my heart for the last 6 months. I just kept saying no, no, no. And I always talked about it. My wife's like, you need to do it. So success for me, it's always picking up God's agenda and laying down my agenda.
Yeah.
I mean, that's success.
That's it right there. Ooh-wee. God's agenda, not your own agenda. I love that because it just reminds me of one of Dr. Miles Monroe quotes. And I can't remember. It's in scriptures also, but it talks about whatever kind of work you're doing for God is never self-centered. It's other-centered.
It's good.
Yep.
That's right.
Man, yep. That's it right there. So man, before we wrap up, bro, now you gotta share just some encouraging words for those people who are listening who wanna get involved in some kind of community or something. Maybe they just need to start their own, but being a place to reveal.
Sure, sure. I mean, the encouragement that I would say is this: give community a shot, especially if you've been hurt by community. Just know that God's people are messy. And in the midst of that, God still uses people to heal us. And a lot of times we want healing, but we also want to withdraw from people. And God actually uses people to heal us. So I'd encourage you to step out in faith, build a support system, and just know that it's going to take time to find your tribe. So just be patient. Mm. Be patient. And take that first step, because usually it's the first step that's the hardest. But I guarantee you, after you take that first step, you're not going to regret it, because now you have a safe place to struggle.
That's it. Y'all heard it from a man, Val, y'all. Y'all heard it.
Thank you, bro. Thanks for
this. This is good. This
Get is me good, on, bro.
Yep. I appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. Hey, thank you for the work you're doing as well, bro.
Man, I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Why Not You with Val. Definitely shout out to Val for just continue to working on itself and creating a community for people to thrive in and just reach personal fulfillment through getting that freedom and getting that burden off your shoulders. You know, community is so important, and I hope this episode inspires you listeners just to create your own space, your own community and environment to thrive in and creating a safe place for others to talk about real life issues. Hey, let's continue to have a blessed week. And remember, we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. Become the best version of you. D. Wells is out.